This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Arms Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in here to start off the second hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. Chatting KE, our politics right now for the next hour on the radio. Have some very interesting guests. Have a new guest that I think you're going to enjoy listening to. Professor Jim Little runs the MBA program for Washington University in China and is a tenured faculty member, obviously, at Washington University. Has some interesting thoughts. Starting out right now with our friend Glenn Downs. Glenn, if you don't mind, I have been doing a fair amount of research on George Soros, the man everybody loves to hate, and a very large percentage of the population, the man everybody loves to love, for lack of better terms. I have come to a, I think, definitive conclusion for Al Corlin, anyway, on Mr. Soros. I'd like to state that, and then I'd like to get your opinion on it, because I know you know quite a bit about the man. Having said that, it's pretty hard to disregard a lot of his economic philosophy ideas, for lack of better terms. But again, by the same token, the one thing that isn't hard, by his own admission, to disregard are his political views. He very much is at odds with George Bush Jr., very much at odds. He feels that, as an example, going into Iraq was next to being a mortal sin. And he feels that because of his intellect, as he describes it, and because of his success in the financial community, he really deserves to be able to have a major saying in foreign policy. He doesn't really think that highly, in my opinion, of the United States right now. And I think the proof is in the pudding with some of the funding that he is doing for some very serious, what I would call, social disruptions. Most recently, New York. And then secondly, obviously, what happened in Berkeley, California. What are your thoughts about the man, Glenn?
Well, first of all, Big Al, once again, thank you for having me back. And, you know, I had the chance to be on the receiving end of the tip of the Soros spear a couple times there on Capitol Hill. Nothing directed at me as an individual, but when during the height of the Iraq War, there were various organizations. Like one, Code Pink, for example, is an anti-war, largely comprised of women. Sounds familiar, like this woman's march that happened just after Trump, and then it went away. By the way, just as soon as Mr. Obama got into office, Code Pink sort of disappeared, melted like a snowflake. No pun intended. In the spring. Parenthetically, Mr. Obama was the first U.S. president, obviously, to be at war for the entire, every single day of his 8 years in office, and dropped more bombs and killed more people than an awful lot of presidents. But the anti-war movement went silent. And that's because some of these movements are not so spontaneous or so indigenous. And people like Soros are the funders for these things, and right. They are coordinated, funded, and I don't think it's just being against the United States. He clearly is a globalist. He's written and said things to that extent. He does have a kind of a megalomaniac view of himself, megalomaniacal view of himself, actually, there's an old 60 Minutes interview that got kind of buried that was recently unearthed. Someone had managed to get a hold of it and save it. Now it's out there on the web, where he was interviewed, and he was somebody who was a Jewish kid who was found himself put in a position of sort of helping Nazis turn other Jews to Nazis. Kind of interesting. So obviously I don't have a great high opinion of him, but part of it, he's got a globalist view, sort of and people can get into why that is, but he's very much against the idea of the nation state. So he's very much will play in the sandbox of nation state politics as a way of trying to advance a globalist agenda that he does. And one of the things that might be instructive about Soros today, and people like him today, and what's going on in the United States right now is his history of funding these so-called color revolutions around the world. When you had like the revolution in the Ukraine, and there were obviously ethnic Ukrainians who were very displeased with the Russian-speaking president of the Ukraine that had problems with the ethnic Russian half of Ukraine. So there's genuine animosity and division within the country, but then it was funded and founded not only by state actors like the United States, the overthrow of this democratically elected president, and we've discussed before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have.
Assistant Secretary of State Victoria Nuland, under Hillary Clinton, saying at the National Press Club, people can go to YouTube and see her say it, the United States spent $5 billion to overthrow a democratically elected government in the Ukraine. But what they also get used to these non-government actors, these NGOs, and outfits funded through people and in concert with people like George Soros to do some of the really dirty work. And so you fund non-democratic revolutionaries and activists and people like that within these countries to try to foment a revolution. And I think that something like that is probably going on right now in the United States, that after having lost to Donald Trump, whatever else anybody thinks of Trump, they are not only not accepting him, he's not my president, which we couldn't say about Mr. Obama, but they've said from the beginning to Mr. Trump. But you see funding going to things like this Woman's March on Washington and the women dressed as vaginas with the so-called pussy hats, the cat hats, or the pink hats on top of their heads. That wasn't something that just spontaneously happened and didn't just fund itself.
No. Something of that magnitude and something that was, quite frankly, as successful as it was throughout the country doesn't just spontaneously happen, and people have to realize that. The one comment I would make about the march, and now you're talking about the Saturday march, I only take one issue with what those folks did because I don't remember any violence that occurred as a result of those marches. I take issue with the fact that the women would not allow pro-life females to be part of that march. In my opinion, that is sinful. Anyway, that's just my thought.
Well, Big Al, my point to that was not, I think for people to peacefully demonstrate is something that's is enshrined in our Constitution.
Exactly.
And so that's a wonderful thing. But there is a series of these things, which are the end of which is not to listen. Why don't we all just get together and start organizing for the next election? I strongly suspect there are elements involved here who are trying to affect something of a coup.
Oh, exactly.
Now,
sure.
Right. Something of a coup to try to invalidate the results of the last election. And so we see different elements taking place in different forms. We see, obviously, whether General Mike Flynn, the recently deposed national security advisor to Donald Trump, crossed any lines or not. He says he didn't. Whether he did or didn't, I do not know. But what we do know is that that he was obviously being spied on by elements of the deep state, and those intercepts, those signal intercepts, telephone conversations and others, were leaked from government sources, deep state government sources, to preferred reporters. So Trump has kind of taken on elements of the deep state, and they're fighting back. Another form of the fight back is you get non-state actors like George Soros to work in concert with you to foment things like that march. Perhaps fingerprints of somebody like George Soros were on some of the protesters that were not so peaceful out in Berkeley, California, when the Breitbart blogger,
yeah, right,
Milos was supposed to speak out there, and these black hooded uniformed ninja like characters show up and they firebomb the building. So there's obviously a coordination there, and there's obviously some sort of a criminal conspiracy.
Glenn, I have to tell you, we're going to take a break here for a commercial, but I have to tell you, I agree with you 100%, and the situation being set forth by the opposition right now, quite frankly, frightens me. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Did you know there's a new group of water contaminants with unknown health effects? These emerging contaminants lurking in your water may include prescription, over-the-counter drugs, and new types of herbicides and pesticides. ProPure's improved Pro-1 G2.0 filter meets NSF 401 standards to help reduce these emerging contaminants. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Lifetime Graze 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com or find us on Facebook.
Being self-reliant is about being prepared and to do what you need to have your own source of renewable energy. Portable Solar LLC offers the most powerful EMP-hardened solar system on the market that is transportable from place to place, and the best part, it's very affordable. Contact them at PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875. Sol Arc EMP-hardened solar generator, energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today or go to PortableSolarLLC.com to check out their patent-pending technology.
Hello, Belly Flattening Helpline.
Hi, is this the number for the free trial of that belly flattening breakthrough SomaBiotics?
It is. We're giving away free trials to anyone, male or female, who's over 18 and wants to flatten their belly fast.
I heard that SomaBiotics is so effective, it can actually cleanse pounds of sludge from your belly. Is that true?
Sure is. SomaBiotics is scientifically formulated with natural ingredients to flatten bloated bellies fast by cleansing pounds of rotting food and toxic sludge from your body. It even combats periodic heartburn and acid reflux, so you'll look and feel great. If your belly flattening results are too dramatic, simply reduce use to every other day.
Wow, I'm glad I called.
If you're over 18 and want to flatten your belly fast, call now for a free trial of SomaBiotics. 1-800-957-5396. But hurry, call now for details while they're still giving these trials away for free. 1-800-957-5396. If lines are busy, try again. That's 1-800-957-5396.
I'm Maria Brous, Director of Media and Community Relations with Publix Supermarkets. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies in the United States? Or that survivors can face a lifetime of serious health problems? But you can help. Join me and Publix for the March for Babies Walk. We'll work together to raise funds for research and programs that help the March of Dimes fight premature birth and birth defects and improve the health of moms and babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome in. Continuing on with KER Politics. Number one, one quick thank you to Glenn Downs. Again, Glenn gives us an awful lot of insight here. Jim McKinney, my buddy, Lieutenant Colonel, retired Jim McKinney, gives us some great insights from his personal boots-on-the-ground type experience, et cetera, et cetera. Jim, I want to ask you about what's going on with this Russian situation. A lot of information is coming out right now that, to me, kind of smells. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I really agree with you, Al. There's some problems in what's happening right now in our institutions and the way we've approached this. But you have to take a look at the problem from the Russian perspective. And, you know, as a Russian foreign area officer and spending since 1985 being an intelligence officer working in and around kind of their view, you have to understand that they have two primary concerns, security and sovereignty. Those are their national security priorities. And then there's a third one that analysts like myself look at. They really appreciate respect. That security issue is really important to them. And one of their biggest fears, and a lot of people talk about NATO and expansion, that's really not their biggest fear. Their biggest fear is the spread of Islam in their southern borders. And the reason why is they have a tremendous experience in Chechnya, yeah. 94, 96, and then 99, you know, 2001 to 2002, and it continues today. A very ugly, brutal war.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you have to remember that the Russians, they are very sophisticated in their foreign policy, and they're actually very predictable. They play chess. They think about their moves long in advance. And what happened, I think, over the last, and again, my opinion, over the last 8 years, is their interests were directly, their security interests, that sovereignty and that respect was really diminished. The Obama administration really ignored them. And, you know, they made these really stupid mistakes with the reset button. They made the mistake just prior to the election of Obama saying, hey, I can negotiate, you know, I'll be better negotiating position before, you know, after the election. And then they continued to allow policies that really scared Russia. And I'll tell you, those policies were running out of Iraq in 2011, very near the Russian areas of concern.
Mm-hmm.
The encouraged the Arab Spring, which was really undermining stable governments, actually stable governments that were very supportive of United States policy in the region, and also their ally Syria, which was very frightening to them. They couldn't get military capability down to support those issues if they didn't have the Crimea Black Fleet. And so that really shows a strategy thought from their perspective. They had to push NATO back, and they had to move into that Black Fleet area. And then eastern Ukraine is actually the ground access and route to Crimea. So they're looking at this thing as a very, very broad strategy. The Obama administration really did not support their interests, their concerns, and they didn't really respect them much or understand how to play the game in their view. And that has put us in a very difficult situation right now.
You know, what I find to be interesting is one of Trump's main policies and his administration's main policies right now, priorities is a better word, actually, is the fact that they want to have an amenable relationship with Russia. I can find absolutely no fault in that whatsoever. And I want to talk about who really started, in your opinion, the smear campaign regarding the relationship between the administration, members of the current administration, all the way up to the top, and Russia. What do you think was behind that, Jim?
Well, if you go back and you look at what happened, the kind of series of events, you know, Donald Trump in the campaign, in a press conference, asked the Russians, "Hey, if you've got those 33,000 emails that the Clintons deleted, maybe that would help." And of course, they jumped on that as a political issue. The campaign jumped out on a political issue. The administration began to jump on it as a political issue.
Uh-huh.
I think they saw it resonated with some people, and it was a national security broader. Potential undermining problem, the more they perpetuated the myth.
Mm-hmm.
The Russians, they are very concerned. Obviously, we just talked about their national security interests. They're very concerned about the outcomes of the election. They're concerned about where it's going. And from their perspective, they didn't really want to continue those policies. And unfortunately, they would have been continued under the Clinton administration. So, yeah, they may have favored Trump. How much they influenced it? The National Intelligence Report that came out from the three agencies, DNI, the Department of Justice, the FBI, and CIA and NSA, basically said they didn't change the outcome of the election, but they were very interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
That makes perfect sense.
Well, you know, given what Madeleine Albright said about the U.S. meddling in elections in Eastern Europe. And given what my friend Daniel McAdams, who was an actual election observer over there when he began his political career, I mean, we don't, you know, we're not even close to being lily white in that area.
No, no. Everybody has to, even our allies, we want to know outcomes. And in fact, you know, there's recent WikiLeaks on the French election, issues like that. But bottom line is, when the administration lost their campaign for Clinton, and they did, they lost this. The Obama administration lost the campaign for Clinton. They took a stand, and they said Russia, you know, set in place a policy, and the president ordered an investigation. When he does that, he gives broad authorities through a letter that allows investigations to go forward. So he put in place a system to track knowledge and information from anybody going in and out, any American, and probably gave authorities to do that. Probably what Trump was mentioning when he said he inherited a mess. Now, when General Flynn discussed with an important global partner who used to be our biggest enemy and who potentially is an enemy, but is talking about issues that are relevant to it, and then somebody is running up and saying, hey, this is an influence, that's not intelligence control. That's in a political influence. That's attempting to shape something. And, you know, the guy's doing the job. They were ordered to do it. They probably had a letter authorizing to do it. I just know how these things work. It was probably an interagency task force, but then somebody used it politically. And that's incredibly unfortunate. It's put us in a very difficult situation. How it can turn around, though, is if the Trump administration truly fired him on an integrity issue for failing to communicate this effectively, that sets a huge standard that they will be able to rely on in the future to prosecute people that have set up these types of situations that still exist within the agencies. It's a sad situation today.
Oh, it's a really sad situation. What's really going to be interesting, in my opinion, and you know, I'm in this thing head over heels in terms of amassing all the information that I possibly can, because I still believe that President Trump can go down eventually in history as the man who changed America in a very, very positive sense. I still believe that, Jim, and I have to say that I'm watching this thing, you know, at the risk of repeating myself, which at my age I do a lot, I'm watching this thing incredibly closely. Having said that, you know, we're here at a point where the deep state, or whatever you want to call it, is really, really waging an all-out war against the administration. They don't want to see the administration attain any success. You know what? And I think, personally, I think the deep state, in my opinion, is probably going to lose. Jim, always a pleasure. Thanks.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business, so make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free ReputationDefender.com.
reputation analysis.
If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You know, I got to tell you, KER politics has become my passion. It's not that I don't really enjoy talking about economics and investing issues and the rest of it, but the political world right now is absolutely fascinating to Big Al. Having said that, I have a new guest right now. We're going to close out KER politics, segment 7 and 8, with my friend Jim Little. Professor James Little is a tenured professor at Washington University, PhD from Wisconsin, if I'm not mistaken, and you also have written a couple of books. In addition to that, you are the head of the MBA program for Washington University in China. I have to say one other thing. Jim is a neighbor of mine. He also is a great connoisseur of the red, for lack of better terms. Jim, great to have you with us. Thank you so much.
It's nice to be here, Al. One correction. I went to graduate school in Minnesota.
And as soon as I said Wisconsin, I realized that.
You must remember that Wisconsin is the sworn enemy of Minnesota in athletics.
I totally understand, being a football fan. Hey, Jim, I want to talk about something that you and I have talked about in the past, and that is the economic history of sorts in the United States post-World War II. Actually, post-World War II to present, because I think a lot of people don't understand what a great service we did as a country for the world after World War II. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, and I think, Al, we have to go back to what happened after the end of World War I.
Okay.
Where we created economic chaos. The world, or Europe and the Americas, had very much globalized between 1850 and the beginning of World War I, and trade volumes were very high. There was relatively free movement of capital, and it was a period of actually remarkable economic growth, in not just in the United States but also in Europe. after World War One, in part because of the sanctions that were imposed on Germany, countries began to look for ways to manage their trade. And basically what they did is two things. They manipulated the values of their currencies by devaluing their currencies dramatically. And they also imposed high tariffs on imports and introduced export subsidies. And basically the idea, if we look at it from Germany's perspective, is we have to pay reparations to France. What we'll do is we'll make the French pay for them themselves, because we'll export a lot to France, we'll import almost nothing from France, and we'll use the difference to pay the reparations that we need to pay to France. But then, of course, everybody responded, and it became a sort of race to the top in this case in terms of tariffs, and a race to the bottom in terms of values of currencies. I won't go through all the mechanics of all of this, but ultimately what this ends up in is serious depression. And as you know, in the 1920s, the U.S. economy did very well. The European economies did very badly. We then ended up where the U.S. in 1930 imposed very high tariffs on imported goods, and trade basically went to nothing. Because if you put a high enough tariff on things, it just simply means you won't have trade. So this was a contributor to the worldwide depression that we had, and that was a very long lasting one, as we sadly know. And so coming out of World War II, the U.S. together with the British, basically said we can't go back to where we were in, say, 1920, and we're not going to have a situation where the losers in the war are beaten down and beaten down economically. And in fact, we're going to promote free trade. We're going to promote economic growth as much as we can. And there were three parts to this. One was the management of the value of currencies through the International Monetary Fund. The second was the General Agreement on Trade and Tariffs, which eventually became the WTO, which negotiated reductions in tariffs and promotion of trade. And the third was the outright financing of the rebuilding of not only the economies of our allies in World War II, France and Britain, but also rebuilding the economies of Germany and in Japan. And the idea here was that without economic prosperity, you cannot have liberal democracies, and to build economic prosperity, we're going to do these things. The U.S. actually, it costs the U.S. something. It costs the U.S. in terms of the financing it provided through the World Bank. It costs the U.S. To the extent that the U.S. opened up its markets to imports from those countries, mm-hmm. allowed them to have, on a temporary basis, some restrictions on imports from the U.S., and it all worked. I mean, it worked in a remarkable way, that the German economy had basically been rebuilt by 1960. The British economy did not rebuild so quickly, but that was probably more because of I'm going to use, some people will get angry with me, but the incompetence of British politicians. The Japanese economy, as we know, got rebuilt. Those have become stable democracies, stable allies of the U.S. It all worked out. It all worked out very well. And what did it all was having this global outlook of these, what I think were very wise men who designed the system coming out of World War II. The thing that changed some of this was the rise of OPEC in the 1970s, and which led to very large capital flows coming from the oil exporting countries, where they could not use all their capital, and it flowed to the US, it flowed to the UK, it destabilized foreign exchange markets, and the management of the foreign exchange system fell apart in the early 1970s. But then in the 1980s, things got back on track, and we had another very, very significant wave of globalization. Again, one that was very successful in terms of improving the lives of many people. The rise of China, some people have described as the biggest anti-poverty program in history, where basically a billion people were taken out of poverty as a result of the growth of the Chinese economy. I'm going on, but the U.S. economy did pretty well through this as well. And we've got to remember that the more advanced your economy is, you're inevitably going to have a lower rate of growth.
No, Jim, there's no question about that. We're going to take a real quick break for the cause here. Commercial break. We're going to be right back with Professor James Little, continuing what I think is a very relevant subject as to what's affecting the United States.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IBC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IBC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IBC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-519-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-519-BACK now to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-519-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Back and continuing our discussion with Professor Little right now. Jim, you know, you're talking about globalization being a very beneficial thing post-World War II, and you're kind of going on and saying globalization is something that perhaps is a necessity. A lot of people don't agree with that, but I think if you really look, if you don't view globalization as necessarily being tearing down the U.S. economy, I think that the point about globalization, you know, what's good for the U.S. is obviously should be good for the world. And this is where I have to disagree with some of the pundits today. Globalization is something that, in my opinion, probably is not that bad a deal. There are aspects to it that are bad, I would have to say, but there are also aspects to it that are beneficial. Talk about that, if you would. I mean, Trump right now is certainly not a globalist, in my opinion, as opposed to, let's say, Hillary Clinton and some of the other folks. I think Trump may perhaps be selling the idea short. Would you disagree?
No, I wouldn't disagree. I think he is selling it short, and it's always easy when you have change.
Mm-hmm.
To somehow attribute the downside of change to foreigners. And the structure of the U.S. economy has changed quite significantly over the last 40 years even.
You bet.
But that's been going on longer than we think. You know, the decline in employment and manufacturing actually as a percentage of the labor force, employment in manufacturing has been falling since the 1930s. Absolute numbers of people employed in manufacturing has been falling since the 1960s. And this is before the latest major wave of globalization. And a big part of this is technological change.
Sure.
You know, you look at something like the U.S. steel industry, and the U.S. steel industry employs fewer people by far, about 1/7 or 1/8 of the number of people it did in 1960. But the output of steel in the U.S. is higher than it was. And this is, people look at the employment number and say, we're getting killed in steel. But the fact of the matter is we're producing more steel than we did in 1960. And that has to mean that we've had technological change in steel production where machines have taken over from people. And those people have moved into the service industry. The jobs are different. Pay structures are different. When people have to move jobs, they lose the benefit of experience and seniority and all the rest of that. That's the downside.
Yeah, and that actually is kind of a lot of people would feel, simplistically speaking, that's a very definite downside. But there is an upside to that, and we're going to talk about that here in just a couple of minutes. I got one more question. Great comment on the steel industry. Talk about the automotive industry, would you? Because that was the big kahuna, for lack of better terms, for so many years in the United States.
The auto industry is really kind of interesting, and it shows the two sides of this very, very well. You know, we had an auto industry that was very concentrated. We had three companies. Mm-hmm. American Motors was inconsequential.
Yep.
And GM had more than half of the market. And they could control the prices. And you and I are both old enough to remember that car prices were high and quality was low.
Mm-hmm.
Japanese came into the market and changed that structure dramatically because they produced high quality at reasonable prices, and it forced the U.S. auto companies to become much, much more efficient, to manage their labor costs much more carefully before they could pass on any increase in labor costs to the customers. Now they weren't able to do that. So what they've done, and you see that by going to any assembly plant, that the number of people that you'll see on the assembly line is dramatically lower than it was in, say, 1975. And they're producing more cars, or as many cars. They're just doing it with many, many fewer people. And that's technological change. Now, what forced the technological change to a degree was the success of the Japanese manufacturers in the U.S. auto market. Interestingly enough, most of the Japanese cars that are sold in the U.S. are actually produced in the U.S. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't so much that there was an advantage to producing in Japan. There was an advantage to the Japanese auto companies because of their efficiencies, because of their approach to design, and so on. So it's another great example of an industry where employment has shrunk dramatically. The output of that industry hasn't gone down, and those jobs, which were without question terrific jobs,
mm-hmm.
just aren't there anymore. And you know, this is something that's been repeated in the past. We had three-quarters of our labor force in agriculture in 1890.
Mm-hmm.
And by 1930, that had shrunk to very small number. Now it's less than 2%. We produce a lot more food than we did before. You give farmers tractors and combines and all the rest of it. You just become much more efficient, and you produce much more with less labor.
You know, one comment that I would have to make at this point in time, and we have a listener by the name of David Garreau. Professor Garreau, I'd like to get you, please weigh in on this, if you would, on our blog after you've heard this segment and the prior segment. My question, though, is it strikes me that the solution to the problem in the United States in terms of employment really is going to require a little different, more of a perhaps sophisticated change than just bring the jobs back, you know, so you can so you can employ people making Levi's and tennis shoes, et cetera, that's really not the answer. The answer, as you and I discussed, and unfortunately we're down to about 2.5 minutes here, Jim, but the answer is people have to understand they have to re-qualify themselves. And I got to tell you, my friend, that's not an easy thing to do.
That's a terribly difficult thing to do. And, you know, it requires some very hard thinking about the way our education system works, not only in the K through university system, but I think also in later in life, adult education. Mm-hmm. That how do we help people transition and gain a new set of skills that allows them to move between very different kinds of jobs over their lifetime. And I don't think that we have a very good grasp on that. And we really need to pay some attention to that and how we do it. Because as we've talked about, Al, economists have known for a long time that there are losers from trade. We know there are losers. And the principle has always been that the gainers could compensate the losers, but we don't do that. Well, one way of doing that is to provide educational opportunities and training opportunities for people. But I still must say that it's very difficult for a guy who's 55 years old, who's lost his job in, say, an auto plant, to transition to another career. And that's one that we're going to have to think very hard about, and what we do about those people, because they lose. It's very hard for them to do retraining. And I really don't have a good answer.
We're going to solve that problem by asking our audience. Folks, what do you think about this? I mean, it strikes me that this is an absolute necessity to occur in our country. Any opinions on this one? Listen, enjoy doing the show this week. Great to have a new guest with us. Hope you all have a wonderful Saturday.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guest by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
You are what you eat? No, not true. You are what you can't absorb, because not absorbing nutrition leads to nutritional deficiency and degenerative diseases. Medication does not fix nutritional deficiencies, and North American soil is now 85% nutritionally depleted. That means your body is not getting the vitamins it needs from just grown foods. Introducing Protovite, the world's first and only full-spectrum protosomal supplement. Protovite is a proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. That's rapid absorption. Then Protovite liquid continues to release sustained nutrition in the stomach, intestines, and colon over a prolonged period of time. See Protovite in action. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video today at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Or call 502-410-3410. 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families.
choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.